The first reading is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Thank you, Bob. Second reading is from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. Jesus speaks and says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to destroy and kill and steal. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, when you're in a church like us and you start throwing around a term like saved, a lot of people get very nervous. So I'll start off by saying, saved has much deeper meanings than are used in some way, and much simpler meanings that are used in some way. To be saved, means to be saved from meaninglessness, from hopelessness, from extreme difficulties, perhaps. Maybe not saved from extreme difficulties, but to be saved even as you go through them. Saved for what? Saved for an abundant life. Now, we had three baptisms today. And so, our sermon title, Abundance Through Baptism. I had a sermon already by Monday or Tuesday this week, which was pretty good for me. But it was then that I found out about a death of a dear old friend of mine, a death of a heart attack at the age of 45. I'll be 45 in a couple weeks. Tiny Glover, I don't know if some of you know Tiny. I know he went to Pittsford Mendon Schools for a while, came out from the city. He was a comedian. He was a peer mediation counselor. He was just this amazing soul. I met Tiny Glover my sophomore year of college. One of my best friends, Leif Hergesel, was attending FLCC, CCFL at the time. And he said, "You gotta meet this guy. You've just gotta meet this guy." And he introduced me to Tiny when I was home on vacation from school one semester. Then lo and behold, I'm managing the college radio station a year later, and who walks in but Tiny Glover? He's moved on to SUNY Brockport where he's studying, and he wants to be on the radio. And so we start up this incredible friendship, he and I. And Tiny was not Tiny. Tiny was huge. He was this massive, massive man. Just this huge guy with the funniest, friendliest face you'd ever want to see. And when you talk about abundant living through baptism, Tiny's a guy that comes to mind for me. An incredibly faithful individual, not someone who threw a Bible at you or preached at you for hours and hours on end, but just someone who laid down his life for you any chance he got. And I'll give you a great example of this. The black fraternity on campus at Brockport was Sigma Phi Rho. It was a very well-known fraternity. And one day, Tiny came in wearing a Sigma Phi Rho jacket. He had just pledged the fraternity. And I winced when I saw the jacket. And he just looked at me and he said, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" And so I related to him an experience I had had just the semester before, coming into the college radio station late in the evening, no one else was around, and there were these three big guys wearing Sigma Phi Rho jackets hanging around the door to the station. And they started, they'd never met me before, they started mumbling words like poor white trash, cracker, and things like that, trying to get a rise out of me. Now, it was three big guys against little, I used to be scrawny, little scrawny old me. And I just went in, went about my business. I did not take the bait. But I told Tiny about this. Now, this guy was a pledge to this fraternity. And he just looked at me and he said, "That ain't right. And I'll take care of it." And he got up and he walked out. He went to the fraternity that he had just pledged, told the story, found out who the guys were, and had them come and apologize to me. That was Tiny. That was Tiny. I'll show you Tiny. Tiny was a, God bless him. He came here some years back. I don't, do you remember how many years ago it was? Maybe 8, 9 years ago. He had this character that he would use with children called Grandpa Teddy. Do any of you remember when Grandpa Teddy was here? This guy who was so cool that I knew in college goes back there to get dressed to meet the kids. And I don't know if you guys can all see this. He comes walking through that door to his old college friend, dressed in a giant teddy bear outfit. Can you see that? And my mouth just drops open. And he tilts his head sideways and gives me the eye like being real tough, like, "You're going to say something, I'm going to pound you into the ground," but in his teddy bear outfit. So he looks like a giant rabid plush toy. And we both laugh over that. Then he came to Bloomfield Schools, talked to the elementary school children, talked to the high school kids about drugs and peer pressure, just a laugh a minute with this great message. He was a comedian who insisted on clean comedy. He was an evangelist that insisted on compassion for everybody. He was a youth counselor that always looked for the kid that felt left out and made sure they felt especially at home. Now, I didn't get a chance to eulogize Tiny, and that's very frustrating when you're a pastor by trade. But this beautiful soul came down onto this earth for just 45 years. And in that time, had the most astounding impact on so many people, on so many people. He died far from home, far from his 7-year-old daughter and his beautiful wife, in Illinois in an airport. He had gone and done a presentation at Illinois College, and he was trying to lose weight, so at the airport he was on a treadmill, and he had a heart attack, and we lost a treasure. But what we didn't lose is a certain spirit, a spirit that was fueled in Tiny through his own baptism. And the spirit goes something like this. I believe, Tiny, if I may sum up your life in 2 sentences. Baptism does not lift us up out of the world to look down on others. Baptism throws us into the world to lift up others. And that was Tiny from the word go. Man, he would jump into any project with both feet. He would look for the opportunity to be useful, look for the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. I know he was to me and to my family. I know he was to other families that are here today. He was a beautiful man. And he had a very abundant life. Friends everywhere, everywhere he went. Didn't know strangers. It reminds me of the people we read about in Acts this morning. who came together so full of love for God and love for life that they would do anything for each other, just given the chance. And my friends, that is when the kingdom of God comes near. We as Christians are not placing our bets for some distant heaven. That's ridiculous. When there is so much promise right here on earth, if we will use our baptisms as that opportunity to jump in and get wet, to jump in and get dirty and yet be clean, if we will use our baptisms as an opportunity to live life more abundantly. A baptism does not protect us from sorrow, from difficulty, from struggle and strife. We are still touched by tragedy. We might even be called home far before our time. But what a baptism does for us is opens us wide to get as much out of life as we can while we're here and to give as much back. Now, I think almost everybody in this room is baptized, right? If you aren't, come see me afterwards. Almost all of you are baptized. In fact, with roughly a third of the world being Christian, roughly a third of the world is baptized. Could you imagine what our world would be if everybody use their baptism as an invitation to make a difference? If everybody in the world would use their baptism as a chance to reach out and lift up others, if you had a third of the people of this world striving to lift up the rest, we'd have the kingdom right here. Now, my friend Tiny did some heavy lifting while he was able. He's a big man, much bigger than me. But he's gone now. And that means that me and a few of my friends are going to have to do some lifting for him. I hope you're in. Amen.